Disc 3.
I try to love my fellow man, with varying success, the poor slaves among the rest. But the truth is, I neither like nor dislike them more than any other creatures. Now your stern abolitionist, because he detests slavery, feels he must love its victims. And so he insists on detecting in them qualities deserving unusual love. But in fact, those qualities are not to be found in them, any more than in other people. Your extreme anti-slaver mistakes compassion for love, and this leads him into a kind of Negro worship, which, on a rational examination, is by no means justified. Surely the victim of a misfortune as grievous as slavery does deserve special consideration, though. Indeed, says Lincoln, such as I received when I had the chicken pox. But having the chicken pox did not make me a worthier person, as some people suppose is the case with victims of slavery. I tell you, sir, to listen to some of our friends, I could believe that every plantation from Florida to the river is peopled by the disciples of Jesus. Reason tells me this is false. The slave, being God's creature and a human soul, is no better than the rest of us.
You have worked too long on your anti-slavery bill, laughs Charterfield. You're suffering from a surfeit.
Why, sir, that is probably so, says Lincoln. I wish I had $10 for every time I have fought a client's case, never doubting its justice and rightness, pursuing it to successful verdict with all my powers, and finished the trial feeling heartily sick with that same worthy client. Believe me, gentlemen, there are moments, God forgive me, when I become just a little tired of negroes.
Your conscience is troubling you, says someone.
By thunder, there is no lack of people determined to make my conscience trouble me, says Lincoln. There was a gentleman the other day, a worthy man, too, and I was ill-advised enough to say to him much what I've said tonight, that negroes, while deserving our uttermost compassion and assistance, were nevertheless a nuisance. I said they were the rock on which our nation had been splitting for years, and that they could well assume the proportions of a national catastrophe, through no fault of their own, of course. I believe I concluded by wishing the whole parcel of them back in Africa. He was shocked.
Strange talk, this, says he, from the sponsor of a bill against slavery.
I'd sponsor a bill to improve bad drains, says I. They're a confounded nuisance, too. A thoughtless remark, no doubt, and a faulty analogy, but I paid for it.
Good God, cries he, you'll not compare human souls with bad drains, surely.
Not invariably, says I. But I got no further because he stalked off in a rage, having misunderstood me completely.
You can hardly blame him, says the other, smiling.
No, says Lincoln. He was a man of principle and conscience. His only fault lay in his inability to perceive that I have both commodities also. But I didn't buy mine ready-made from Cincinnati, and I don't permit either to blind me to reality, I hope. And that reality is that the slave question is much too serious a matter for emotion. Yet I very much fear that emotion will override reason in its settlement.